Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be back with you. It's been a while, but it's good to be back with you. And it's exciting to look out and see familiar faces, to see long-term friends, to see some new faces. Some exciting things are happening. I'm excited for you here at Vineville and all that you've got going and all the future that's ahead of you. But it's good to be worshiping with you this morning. In a few moments, we're going to read from Exodus chapter 16. If you've got that, you can open that in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 16. We'll get there in just a few moments. Take you back a little journey in time. Those of you younger, you will need to go to social media, Google or whatever, and find this. In seasons 1982 through 1984, Saturday Night Live had a regular comedy sketch that was named The Whiners. Joe Piscopo and Robin Duke played the characters Doug and Wendy Whiner. These characters spoke relatively normal lines in conversation. It was just that they spoke all of it in that whiny nasal tone. And of course, they drove everyone in the sketches crazy with their incessant whining. In spite of the humor of those sketches, there's absolutely nothing humorous about a whiner. And every parent of every 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and 14-year-old know that. Sorry, 14-year-olds. A whiner will annoy you beyond human endurance. They will drive you to the brink of insanity. Okay, I've whined enough about whiners. So let's look at the scriptures and see what God does when the Israelites are whining. Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard your complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of Israelites. They looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God has delivered the Israelites from the bonds of slavery in Egypt. It has just been 6 weeks, but so much has happened. During that time, God has led them by a column of fire by night and a pillar or column of fire, a column of cloud by day. When Pharaoh's army came after them, God opened the Red Sea and they crossed on dry land, but the water closed back over the Egyptian army and they all drowned. When there were other provisions began to run low, God sweetened bitter water for them to drink, and they were able to drink that and also to nourish their livestock. Then God led them to an oasis at Elim, where they camped and restocked their water supplies. Now here we are, 6 weeks out of Egypt, 6 weeks in the desert and wilderness, and the provisions are beginning to run low. They've run out of their meat and bread, and they are beginning to get hungry. Yes, they could slaughter some of their livestock and eat it, but if they do, when they get to the promised land, there will be nothing to restart, nothing left to establish themselves. They will not be able to survive there. So when they start to complain, to whine about Moses and Aaron, "Why did you ever lead us out of Egypt? Yes, we were slaves, but at least we had plenty of food. You brought us out here to die. We would have been better off to stay slaves in Egypt and die a natural death." They seem to have already forgotten, to have forgotten that they had prayed and begged and whined, asking God to lead them out of Egypt, to free them from the oppression of Pharaoh. They seem to have already forgotten how God had been leading them by day and night through the vast desert wasteland. They seem to have already forgotten how God rescued them from Pharaoh's army, leading them through the Red Sea and crushing the army. All they can think is, "I'm hungry. I'm running out of food." They cannot imagine how they could possibly survive on such limited supplies as they have. Before Moses or Aaron have time to respond to the people, God tells Moses, "This is what I'm going to do. God is going to provide the people with meat and bread." And that's exactly what God does. God gives them quail in the evening and bread or manna in the morning. And God continues to give them manna every day for the next 40 years until they reach the promised land. And when they get there, they'll be able to provide food for themselves. God did this because of their complaining. God heard them. God heard them. God heard them in Egypt when they were slaves, and God heard them in the wilderness when they were hungry. God heard them. And God hears us. God hears us when we are slaves to sin. God hears us when we hunger, even though we don't realize it maybe, but we are hungering for God. And God meets our need. Notice that I said God meets our need, not that God meets our wants. God meets our need. Our natural response to the scripture is to think physical needs, just as the Israelites did when they were complaining to God. We think, where will we get the resources to provide for our needs, our family's needs? Where will we get the resources we need in times of difficulty, in times of crisis? Where will the money come from to pay the mortgage and buy food when we lose our jobs or are demoted? Where will we find the resources to provide for our needs when planning for the future, next month, next year, even 10 years from now? How will God provide for us? When will God provide for us? Will God provide for us? Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," as we prayed earlier. And he told the disciples, as in the scripture that was read earlier, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear, nor is not life more than food? Is not your body more than clothing? And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus says that the most important need we have is our need for God. And God meets our need. God meets our need through Jesus. The physical needs come and go, but our need for Jesus is constant. God sent Jesus, God's Son, God's only Son, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. God met our need by giving us the bread of life. The Israelites had to accept God's gift of heavenly bread, the manna. They had to be willing to take it and eat it, or they would have died for lack of food. They weren't sure what it was. They even asked, what is it? Manhu, what is it? They had never seen anything like it. But they took it and they ate it. And we have to accept God's gift of the bread of life. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to invite Jesus into our lives and to live for Jesus, or we will die in our sin and in our need for salvation. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for me. And Jesus died for you. It is by believing that Jesus really is the Son of God, and by asking him to forgive our sins and to be our Savior, that we become children of God. It is by believing, because of love for us, Jesus gave his body for us. Jesus shed his blood for us. And it is because of that we are saved. And by God's grace, we are forgiven. We are forgiven, and we are free to live for God. We are free to live for God. This morning, we are going to pause and remember. We're going to remember the love of God. We're going to remember the love of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We pause. And as we do, we commit. We recommit ourselves to loving the Lord. We commit and recommit ourselves to living the love of the Lord. This morning, we will gather at the table of the Lord.